you imagine bringing three babies home? I said, at one time, can you imagine that? Oh, my. Well, there's a story that I told once before, and probably I think in about 1949 or 54 or something. But anyway, so it's an old story. You may have heard it. But anyway, Coca-Cola was trying to increase its productivity, and so it was interested in a machine that was made in Germany that would bottle these bottles 3-4 times faster than any machine they had. And so they ordered the machine, and a German company sent it over to the United States, and they set the machine up and started it up, cranked it up, turned on the electricity, and it just didn't work. And so they called and asked for, just called and asked for him to come and tell him how to get it to going. And they gave him instructions. And, of course, that was before days of Internet and all the stuff we have now. So it was all over the phone, and it was letters and phone messages, and couldn't get it to work. And so this guy came all the way over from Germany, and he asked for a ladder. When he got there, got up on top of it, and he got a little hammer he had in his pocket there, and he hit the machine 3 times, and then he said, okay, now try it, and it started up. And they said, and so he gave him the bill for this, $50,000 for starting up the machine for him. And they said, isn't that a bit much? And it just for hammering 3 times? Oh, it isn't the hammering. It's knowing where to hammer. Ruth's going through this with her machine she has at home, so I reminded me of this story. Who's in control? Who's in control? Can the farmer control the mules? Can the truck driver control the truck? Can the carpenter control the hammer? Can the painter control the paint? Can the politician control the speech? We're kind of imperfect people in an imperfect world. Can the government control the people in the uprisings? I don't know whether you know it or not, but there's been uprisings in Cuba, and there are currently in process. We don't get good news here in this country, but there are currently uprisings in Australia, New Zealand, Indonesia, Iran, Turkey, Argentina, Russia, Canada, the truck drivers kind of got beat down, and China. President Xi would like to lead everybody to believe that he's in control in China. Who's in control if the Chinese government collapses? And see, if the rebellion is successful, that's where we would be. Who's, then what? Then where's our, you know, we're complaining because we're getting everything from China, but what really happens if the control is taken away from the people that are in control? What happens to our drugs? What happens to our things we get from China, because we've depended upon them so much? So, who's in control in the U.S. And if you're listening to the news, it's pretty clear that nobody really knows anything. The U.S. Constitution says it's we the people. It's kind of based on if it's fair and just, the Judeo-Christian philosophy. But if you read the news, it's pretty clear that the people who are in the know about our country, they would kind of lead you to think and understand perhaps we would already be a communist country now, right now, today, if it weren't for the fact that we still have gun rights. So who's really in control of all this? Well, you know, my temptation is to figure out what does the word control really mean. And I did look up in the dictionary, the ordinary dictionary, and there's three or four definitions depending on which one you want to look at. But anyway, that includes to exercise authority or influence over, to hold in restraint or prevent any action is number two, and to number three, to verify a scientific experiment, and 3B, to verify an account. Well, if we're talking about those definitions, the exercise of authority or influence over is kind of the one that seems to fit there, or to hold in restraint and prevent any action, which would kind of fit the communist Chinese and those that are rebelling, because what the Chinese want to do is to arrest them, put them in jail, and then harvest their organs in a quote gift that they sign the paper that they're given a gift, I guess. Then there's the noun definitions. Authority, the number one is authority to regulate, direct, or influence. Number two is remaining active authority. Number three is standard of comparison. Number four is instruments guiding a machine. Number five is spirit presumed to act through spiritual medium. Now, maybe that fits in here, but I have even trouble understanding that definition. And six is to organize and control space flight. That might be the best one, because we're talking about a God in heaven. Anyway, Gregory Copley is the president of International Studies Association, Order of Australia, and an interpretive writer out of Australia. And he has written an article about the chaos in the various governments, and I have pulled out of his comments here some interesting aspects, and I'm just going to read what he says a little bit, because I think it's pretty interesting. The social contract exists in all societies. The social contract exists in all societies. And I was saying, how can that be in a communist country? It's only in so-called democracies, and perhaps it's hallmark of them, that the social contract made explicit in the form of the constitutions drawn on an initial public consensus and then modified through legal and social practices, the social contracts of unapologetic autocratic states exist, but these are implicit. The autocratic states, the implicit social contract, is that disobedience within the populace is met with punishment. As opposed to in our country, where it's supposed to be given to us by the Constitution. Given that autocratic social contract is essentially unilateral, it was never given willing consent by the governed. The point comes when the governed determines that the ruler's enforcement mechanism has collapsed or lacks will or capability. The breakdown in social contracts in societies that have consensus-driven constitution and those that don't vary only in the pace and firmness of the suppression of the protest against the government. The societies that began to function to some degree as democratic political politics, which were seen to have moved from the public acceptance of their social contract, the breakdown begins when the legal and constitutional challenges only moves towards the realm of physical protest, when it becomes clear that the spirit of the social contract itself has been irretrievably violated. And we're kind of in that, close to being in that position in the United States. At some point, perhaps the tipping point, the prestige of the governing authority, the system or individual vitiates, not just to the point of hatred, but to the outrage of the ridicule. What was becoming apparent to many protesters in the mainland China in the late 2022 was that Xi had made himself the clear author of the policies that had led to the collapse of the social well-being. In so doing, he made himself a more significant target of opposition than the CCP. We have just begun to see many indirect messages and few direct ones of ridicule and contempt targeting Xi. So what happens if that collapses? And he suggests that we be prepared. But nobody's talking about it. So who's in control? Rome was overthrown from within. China can see too. So, what do the Christians say? Who is in control? Well, I've heard Christians that I have known say that God is in control. I've heard Christians say that unsaved people who do not believe in God do so only if there's no one else. I've heard people say that unbelievers don't believe in God, don't believe God is in control until they are faced with no other possibility. What does the Bible say? God gave us priests. When that didn't work, he gave us kings. Then when we formed this country, we said we wanted the job. We were the voters who wanted the job. Our social contract between the people and the government. So what does the Bible say? Who really is in control? So, I turned to the Bible a little bit, and I want to first suggest that, and you don't need to turn here, but I'm going to read Genesis 1, 28 through 31. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw that everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And in the evening and the morning were the sixth day. But what he's saying to us is he's given us dominion. He's given us, is that control? Is dominion control? Is he given us dominion over the mule? Over the truck? Over the family life? Over marriage? Over, is he given us control? Given us dominion? Well, then I looked at Jeremiah 7. Now somehow I'm on the wrong. Jeremiah 7:23. And they shall lay hold of a bow and a spear and are cruel, have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea. They ride upon the horses, set array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. And then, I don't know why I put that in there, to be right honest with you. And I turn to Acts, Jeremiah 7:23. Is that what I did? Anyway. Somehow I got off on that. What the verse was supposed to say, I will be, obey my voice and I will be your God. So somehow I got the wrong verse in there. And I'm not sure where I got off. Then I turned to Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And then I turned to 2 Corinthians 2:9. For to this end also I did write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. So, all of this, leads us to believe that what God's really telling us is that we be obedient to Him. That we be obedient to Him. But, we train up our children. Let me look here. We are told by the God's Word to train up our children in God's Word. Well have we done? Some good, some not so good. And we think of our grandchildren, all of us think about that. So, let's look at Proverbs 4:1-5. Hear, ye children, instruction of the Father, and attend to knowing and understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Give wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And then Proverbs 6:20-22. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy brother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. Where when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. All of this is telling us to be obedient to God's Word. Really talking. So is God in control? Nowhere in the Bible does it say God is in control. Doesn't say that. Those words aren't in the Bible. Either. At least I haven't been able to find it. So who really is in control? And you know, looked up the word control, what does it mean, and I found it, the word in the definitions of the common standard a dictionary, but I really didn't find the word defined in the biblical dictionary. So are we saying something that's wrong, or when we say that, it's not in the Bible? Who really is in control? My first wife, I had estate plans all worked out, and I had everything set up so that most of it was in Judy's name, and I was dying first, and we just knew that. And she got cancer, changed up the plans. Who's in control? Changed up our plans big time. Sure, since we weren't in control. The Tower of Babel. People weren't in control there. They were going to build the tower to the heavens. Best laid plans. F gang aglay. God gave us priests. He gave us kings, and we demanded to be in control in our country. Perhaps, you know, control is not the right word. Perhaps we're not looking at this in the right way. It is different than absolute control because, you see, God makes it clear. He gives us, each of us, a choice. So He doesn't dictate to us. He doesn't really control what we say. And a lot of times when people say God is in control, they're really thinking, I think, God will do it my way. God will intervene in the government my way. God will intervene on behalf of what's right. You just know that's got to be true, and it just doesn't work that way. Instead of a dictator controlling, God doesn't dictate. He does not dictate. So what does the Bible say? Well, let's turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, 17 through 22. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, His righteousness unto children's children, to keep such as a covenant, and to those that remember His commandments and do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, and excel in the strength that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of His, do pleasure His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, all His places, all of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, see, God has given us what He wants us to do. And He says right in here, you follow my commandments, and I will be doing this. I will be doing if you follow my commandments. So if we turn to Proverbs 8, 15 through 17, By me kings reign, princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles even all of the judges of the earth. So God's making it very clear that he's allowing those people to be there. He's appointed those people to put in that position. And let's see here now. Sorry, Paul. And then Proverbs 8:32-36. Proverbs 8:32-36. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watcheth daily my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Well, it looks like to me that he's not really saying he's in control. He's saying you are submitting to my control. By buying into and believing in me, you are the ones that are actually agreeing. The contract then that we have with the United States that's written, but the contract we have with God is one that we buy into, because we buy that what he's saying. We buy what he's telling us to do. Buy into that. And he's in control because we yield to it. We submit to it. We agree. Therefore, he really rules, because we have consented to it. So turn to Romans 8:14-17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so, be it that we suffer with him, and that we may be also glorified together. So, it's our doing. It's our choice. It's our agreeing to go along with that. And Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we know that God intervenes. We know that God intervenes if we are going the wrong way. He can intervene. We are volunteers to his control. We are not under a dictator, but we submit to him. And if we follow him, then he rules us. And he really is in control, because we've agreed to it. Not from the standpoint he is going to punish us for just violating his, he has given us grace, so we are forgiven. That doesn't mean that we go out and commit offenses and crimes. and what have you, but like that. But it does mean that we have submitted to him, we agree to abide by his rule, and therefore, because he is going to do it his way, we have submitted really to his control, but we're doing it voluntarily, not really in control. And maybe that's the reason the Bible itself doesn't say God is in control, because it's not a control that is punished for the wrongdoing. Now, he does punish his people for the wrongdoing, I understand that, but it's not that he takes away our salvation in the process. So, who's in control? Well, we're not in control ourselves, because God interrupts, people interrupt, and so when people say that God is in control, he's really governing over us because we are agreeable and submit to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your wisdom, for your guidance, and your understanding of us, your willingness to take us under your wing and give us your wisdom and give us your love and patience and understanding. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.